This is in the pastor's library. It's a good book on things to come. It's by J. Dwight Pentecost. John's read it. It's to be used here, not to be checked out. But if you're here and you're wanting to study, I also ran some copies of these things in my unauthorized advertisement for Bible Truth and Prophecy, which is Robert Lindstedt. So if you want any of those, pass those out. So I think we're about ready to start. Why don't we just open up in prayer as long as we have one more handout today. Just keep them coming here each Sunday. So I guess we could put those back here. Charla needs one in the back. What's that? We don't do political jokes in this kind. Okay, yeah, no hand. There's only one handout, so which? Okay, no political jokes here. I'm sorry, but that was a good one. Okay. All right. I think we can get started. This is a fun day to talk about what's going to happen now. As long as you're a believer. If you're not a believer, the most polite thing I can say is it really stinks to be you, because this is not going to be a good story to hear. So, okay. As soon as John gets up here, if anybody else needs a handout or see somebody come in and needs a handout, let us know here. So let's open in prayer and let's get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that we can study. We thank you for the prophecy that you've given us through your prophets, the truth that you have for us. We thank you that we can understand this and we can look forward to that glorious day and that glorious reunion with you. We ask that you guide this lesson and this study plan, and that you lead us this week and keep us safe and in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we are going to look at, we come from the perspective that we're a pre-rapture, or the rapture is a pre-tribulation, and the second coming is pre-millennial. So we're pre-rapture, or pre-tribulation. See if I can spit this out here. I've been fighting a kind of sinus problem this last week, so I might be going a little slower today. So there are other aspects. There are other people that believe a little differently this. We think this sure makes sense to me. It does come from our church doctrinal statement. This does fit with our church doctrinal statement. I wouldn't be up here if it didn't. If it's not this way, we know there is one way, and it's going to be God's way, and it's going to be perfect. But it sure looks like this is the way. But even though a rapture may happen before the tribulation, there's nothing to say that times won't get rough and tough for us as we go up to that tribulation period. So I want to keep that in mind. But let's look to Ephesians 6:10, and if I can get somebody to volunteer to read 6:10, you're not only going to have comfort, since you're in this class, you're all going to be able to ace the quiz that Pastor Joe has for us in the church service. If you remember last Sunday, he gave us some homework assignment. Okay, we're all going to ace that quiz here. Who, do I have a volunteer? Delbert. He didn't even have to look that up. Hey, he's the top of the line here. So, from what we're going to read, we want to be the confidence. We want to be strong. It's strong in the Lord. And say that again. Right, there's our comfort right there. It's the God, it's our Lord's might that's doing this. Let's also look at Revelation 1:3. This was not in the homework assignment for us, but As we get started, I want to just point this one out. I'll just read this. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So there's our blessing. So we are challenged to look at Revelation. I know we came up in a church that, oh, that's going to happen. Whatever's going to be, okay, sera, sera, it's going to happen. But we have the ability to see what is going to happen. So let's take advantage of that right now. Let's also want to look at Revelation 19:7-9 before we get started. Well, as we're getting started here. 19:7-9. 19, where'd we go on that one? 19:7-9. And maybe I could have a volunteer read that. John will do that. Okay, where is that telling it? What's that telling us? We have just gone through the rapture in our study. We have gone through the tribulation, and we were coming close to the end of the tribulation. The believers have been, and I'm still having my imaginary man named Straw Man over here too. I'm going to call on him. Believers have been raptured, and the Bema judgment has been placed. We have been placed in, not to determine whether we're going to be in heaven. We're there. Anybody that's raptured will be in heaven. It's to determine the crowns that are given to us that we cast back at his seat. This is the other thing that's going on here at his feet. Is the marriage feast of the Lamb, or the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where we have been. We have been the bride of Christ, and this is what's been going on for believers this past time. For those that had to go through the tribulation, life has been really tough, and then really, really tough, and then unimaginably tough. Some to the extent of losing their lives. A lot of them have lost their lives. But those who became believers and have been executed have now joined the believers in heaven. In the sky, let's say. And they're now part of our saints. Those are the tribulation saints. And we're getting ready to head right on into the battle of Armageddon. Armageddon comes from that word Harmageddon, which you could look at Revelation 16:16. And we're going to see a picture of that up there, if we can get that to that time. And it's been mentioned there. It's the picture that we give that battle to this biblical proportion concept, these huge battles. And this is where our battle is going to begin. Now, we're to the west, we're looking to the east. This is the Mount Megiddo. Solomon made this his northern fortress to kind of protect Israel from the northern advances. Now, Nazareth is about 12 miles to the northeast. That doesn't look like 12 miles to me, but if that's 12 miles, those buildings up there would be Nazareth, okay? I think Nazareth is further. We're looking over the Jezreel Valley. And that is where our big battle plan is going to happen. Now, before we get into the handout is our 8-step battle plan. I want to go through the map of Israel. I wasn't going to do this, and then I thought, maybe we ought to put the map up there. And I thought, no, I didn't get around in time to doing that. So this church, think of this as our map of Israel. Right there is Jerusalem. Okay, and it runs north and south, kind of like Israel here. About 58 miles that way, just on the other side of those, our back pews, as you walk in, that's Megiddo. That's Mount Megiddo. Okay, let's come back here to Jerusalem. This is the Kidron Valley that runs right here. And over here is the Mount of Olives. Come over here to the Mount of Olives, and you look over here and you see that stupid dome of the rock that's sitting where the temple is supposed to be. But we're not being recorded, am I? Try not to give my opinions on this, but see that gold building there? That's the dome of the rock here. Oh, by the way, you walk down here, and the Mount of Olives is right there. So you're looking over here at Jerusalem. Right now you have walls around it. They call that Old Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built up around there. So, all of these here, pews, those are the mountain range. Kansans will refer to those as mountains. If you're Rocky Mountain area, those are rolling plains, okay? But since I'm a Kansanite, those are mountains. As the crow flies, it's 58 miles to Mount Megiddo. Jezreel Valley is about a 10-mile wide area, and it goes about 35 miles long. It comes over to the Jordan River Valley. Topography, it kind of falls into the Jordan River Valley. From Megiddo, you look, about where Todd's sitting. That's where Nazareth, that's about 12 miles. You go 28 miles, and you're at the western edge of the Sea of Galilee. You're kind of in that corner over there. And Tiberias is the city there. Capernaum is there now. So the Jordan River is going to go down. Our wall is going to be our Jordan River. You're never going to look at this sanctuary again when we get down here. In the same light here. Because Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, Megiddo, Jordan River, about off that wood direction is where Jordan River dumps into the Dead Sea. So that's where the Dead Sea is. About 8 miles going this way. It's that mountainous area. You have that tremendous drop off. And about halfway down, running parallel to the Dead Sea, you have En-Gedi, famous for when David was being chased by Saul. And you go down parallel with the bottom part of the sea, of the Dead Sea, and you have Masada. That's what happened 70 years after, you know, the Jews that held out. So that's about where the piano is. And Petra, we need to discuss Petra. Yeah, so where are you going to be? You're going to be at Masada, all our piano players? Anyway. And then Petra, where's Petra? It's southeast of the bottom of the Dead Sea. Okay? That's where our air conditioner is, okay? So when we put that tour of Wheatland, you know, on Wheatland Baptist Church, we'd say, that looks like an air conditioner. That's Petra, okay? And, of course, where's the other place? Babylon. It's over there about the edge of where the trailer park is, right? Babylon, we can't go over there. We have to go up that way because that's all sand right there, hot sand, desert sand. Okay, we got that? Got our map here? Yes. What? Well, I don't think we had all three of them. Do we have we had another one got in there, didn't we? That's the south end of Megiddo. And it kind of goes, it's a natural fortress there. I don't know, did I get that other one on there? I may have only had that one. I had two. Okay, now, yeah, there is more looking more to the north. I do have to change my compass when I'm looking at that one. I got to think about that this morning. Everything else, we are right in line north and south with Israel. So, again, you're never going to look at this church sanctuary again in the same light that you were. And but anyway, that's where the Jezreel Valley is. Napoleon said this was the greatest battlefield, or one of the greatest battlefields on the whole earth as he knew it. He was a pretty good warrior. He just miscalculated his opponent one time and overstated his own forces, and that's where he met his Waterloo. But he said that that was the greatest. That was a joke, by the way. Kind of a pun. Okay, never mind. That's where it's all going to start, right there. But that's kind of turned around. It's right back there. You're looking at it from that side perspective. Okay, so we got our map down. Now, what I handed out is our X's and O's game plan. No, I mean battle plan. This is not a game. I'll try to keep from doing my George C. Scott impersonation of Patton while I'm up here. And with the X's and O's, I'll try not to look like John Madden and saying, come around here, we block this guy out, and boom, we got him. So, okay, first step. Oh, I do want to look at one piece here. We have the gathering of the world armies at Armageddon. Who are the world armies? The capital has been over at Babylon. Babylon is mentioned, 44 times? 44 verses out of the 404 verses in Revelation mentioned Babylon. It's the second most mentioned city in the book of Revelation behind Jerusalem. It's an important city. It's a city that Noah's great grandson, Nimrod. He built Babylon at the outset. He also put the Tower of Babel together. He also had Nineveh. He was a mighty warrior, and in fact, in Genesis, you'll see he was a mighty hunter. Doesn't say what he was hunting. Jimmy DeYoung thought he was a mighty hunter of dinosaurs, putting them out of existence. Interesting thought here. We can't find a whole lot of dinosaurs now. Maybe he just knocked them right out of existence after the flood. He's fourth generation off of Noah. But that's where our Babylon is. Babylon's mentioned as the world economic center or a system. It's also mentioned as the city where the economic and the political activity will be for the Antichrist. Okay, where am I now? Seems like I was going to say something else on that, but it came to me as I was talking, and it went right out the other end here. So, okay, we're going to look at item one. First, we have the gathering of the world armies. They're still around here. We're at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Let's look at Revelation 16, 12 to 16. I want to look at that one. For some reason, I highlighted that one, 16. We're at the sixth bowl, and of course, these last seven bowls are coming boom, 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 boom. They're coming one right after the other. We're right at the sixth bowl, and Euphrates River is dried up, and somehow that means the armies of Babylon are going to go up the Euphrates River and come right back down, and they're forming at the northern edge of Israel over here. So do I have a volunteer to read Revelation 16, 12 to 16? Let's see what we got here. Jim, 12. Got to be quicker. Armageddon, there's our mention here. This is what, and we have another blessing for those that watch, that keep his garments. So, one thing I wanted to mention about Revelation, it is a challenge here in the fact that we have to look at it. There is symbolism in the Revelation. Okay, there's symbolism. Such when we read about Christ returning on the horse, question is, are there really horses in heaven? Probably not. I don't know. I haven't been there to come back and tell you. But that may be that symbolism. But I also look at this as a literal. So we have to look at the literal reading here too. Just keep that in mind here. We have the Battle of Armageddon forming. And so there we are. There were on our first item of our X's and O's charts of the battle plan here. Number two, God destroys Babylon. The Antichrist, and this is also written on the back of your map there too. He destroys Babylon. Okay, so God's going to, the armies are gathered up here. God says, I'm coming over here and wiping out at Babylon here. That's part of the game plan. It's going to be done. And then there's your reference there. The kings of the east are there. Then item three, Jerusalem right up here is attacked, and half the city falls. And then the armies of the Antichrist attack the Jews that are hidden down in Petra. They're over there. Remember, they're at the air conditioner. Well, they're in Petra, but still drawing a picture of the map here. So we have things coming in here. We're not. The enemy is forcing what's coming on here. And Christ is going to respond here. Israel is regenerated and accepts Jesus as the Messiah. I don't think that's all of Israel, but that is a lot of the Jews will be regenerated. And they say Christ is the Messiah. And now item six, Jesus rescues the redeemed Israelites that are hidden away in Petra. We're going to get to the Olivet Discourse one of these days. Not today. But we'll look at part of it. At the midpoint, Jesus gives the warning to the Jews, when you see these happens, you don't even look around. You just get to Petra. And that's where they are. They're being saved. That's where they're going to be hidden away. And now, item seven. The armies of the world are destroyed at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Where's that? This Kidron Valley that runs right through here, my understanding is that the portion that goes from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So those are one and the same at that point. And then the victory ascent of Jesus upon the Mount of Olives. I believe I read that the Mount of Olives is split in two, to the north and to the south. And we have quite a bit of this is kind of a gory picture, but it's going to be there. So that is the overall game plan, and let's see if we can back up and go right to, because I want us all to know that what we're going to be doing during this battle here. Okay, are we going to be, here, hand this sword over here, you hold our right flank while I come around, sir? No. We're not doing any of that. We're not doing any of the battle, really. This is all Jesus. It's like one on a billion, okay? And we got the advantage, or our team. It's good to be on the winning side, isn't it? At any time, but especially this time. So let's look at Matthew 24, 27 to 31, because we're going to get the opening of this. And this is in the Olivet Discourse. We'll come back to this later, because I think Jim is going to be taking a few Sundays off to go help. Okay, well, one of these days he's gonna take a few days off here, and we're gonna get back to the Olivet Discourse. Okay, it'll be a while here. Just can't happen in January, February, March, or April for me. Okay, just a little scheduling concept there. Okay, where are we? 24, 27 to 31. Volunteer to read this one. Delbert, let's do that here. one end of heaven to the other. We have the announcement. Christ himself is the announcement. We have the sun going dark. We have everything going dark. We have quite a picture here. We're also seeing the eagles or the birds flying over the dead carcasses of the enemy. Quite a picture to watch here. So they're going to be really cleaning up all of the, they're going to be eating. Isn't that a lovely picture here? I'm glad it's not right before lunch. So, but it's going to happen that way. So all of the God's elect will be with him. And all of the world history is culminating right at this point. At this point. We have more to go, but it's all culminating right here. And this battle covers from Megiddo to Petra. And we see, this is kind of a jet tour here. We do see a lot of blood in the Valley of Jehoshaphat here. There's just a lot. There's just going to be a lot of blood showing up here. So I'm not a fan of going to see any of these movies that showed a lot of blood. I'm guessing, you know, I never did go see Texas Chainsaw Massacre or anything like that. Isn't that sounds like something I never did and I never cared to, but that's going to be something like what we're going to see here. So, okay, now let's look at Revelation 19, 11 to 13. And because we've just got the announcement, things are coming. 19 is our starting with 11. Let's do 11 through 13. And do I have a volunteer for that? Because we'll break this apart here. We do have Pastor Terry. Okay, we'll stop right there here. So that's the armies that's with him. Well, that's what we're going to be. Oh, yeah, I want everybody to know what we're going to be doing. We're going to be clothed in white clothing. Normally, when you start into battle, you're going to be clothed in dark clothing just kind of hide yourself, camouflage of some sorts, especially the armies of the day there. But we're going to be in white, and we're not going to get dirty either. So that means we're behind, and Christ is going to do it all here. He's got a name on, on him was called Faithful and True. And what was the name that nobody knows? John knows that, right? You could tell us. Nobody knows, right? He has a name. Now the question is, did John was just not able to understand it or comprehend it, or couldn't say it, or saw it, but is told not to talk about it. Well, if he saw it and could understand it, then somebody knew it, right? But nobody knows. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood. This is not our Savior's first battle. The dipped in blood is from all of the other battles. This has been stated as the last battle, but I think we have one more to come at the end of our millennial kingdom here. But this is the big one. So he has been dipped in blood. What else can we say about that? God's elect is going to be with him. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be on white horses, and you notice I wore my horse tie again. The silver is supposed to be white. Red, we've already gone through that in one of our judgments. There's no mention of a blue horse, but play like that's black. So, I think Pastor Joe can explain that. If they're not literal horses, what are they? Good question. Again, Is there really a sword coming out of Jesus' mouth, or is his word cutting like a sword? It says it's there like a sword. Is it cutting? And remember, this is the same word, this is the same mouth that spoke the world into existence. Right? John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Nothing was made without the Word. I'm paraphrasing. I think that's pretty close. Correct me if I'm wrong here, if somebody wants to do that. And, of course, the Word became flesh. There's our mention that that Word became Jesus, became flesh in the form of a human being. So that's the same Word. That's the same mouth that's going to be doing all of this, I don't know, can I say slashing and burning here, killing everything. And this is those, who is he doing this to? I think we're going to come across this here in a little bit. Let's hold off here on that. We might explain that, but let's put down who is the recipient of his wrath. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget it here. That's a good question here. I'm glad you asked it. Okay, let's move on to 15. Let's read 15 and 16. Do we have another person that wants to get in the action here? Delbert, we're going to go back to Delbert. That's who it is. I guess I spoke too soon, because he has that sword there. Is it a literal sword? I don't know. It's going to do a lot of killing, though. It's going to be wiping out a lot of the people here. And any other comments that you want to make on that? Any other there? Yes, Jim. Okay, we're going to take a vote. Probably horses will win, because my tie would like that. Okay, it says horses, let's go with it here, okay? That's good enough for me. We're going to find out, and we're going to find out from behind all of the action, okay, as believers. You don't want to find out from in front of this, okay? John. Right.
So they were not a flame of fire, as a flame of fire, whatever that meant.
Mm-hmm. In this case, it says.
And there's other places, I don't know what all is in here, but other, many places will say as, or like, and other places in the Bible that mention these terms, like the sword, word of God, and there's other places besides here that talks about the sword. So, as I remember the places that talk about that, I think it's not a literal sword because of the other places and the
If it's not a sword, it's something to be contended, you know, to be respectful of. Okay? We'll find out, you know that? Another one on the as, you know, when Jesus was baptized, we saw the manifest, we didn't, but humankind saw God manifested in all three forms. Jesus, was baptized. The voice of God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And it also said the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. It wasn't a dove that said, "Ooh, that looks like the Holy Spirit." No, that's as close as a definition of how the Holy Spirit descended at that time. As a dove, you can kind of get the picture of a dove coming in and landing. But that's another example of what you were just pointing out, John, is that and some of these things may be a little English interpretation from, in this case, Greek. The book of Revelation was in Greek. Matthew would have been in Greek. Our three languages in the Bible are basically Hebrew, and then after Judah was taken to Babylon, I think that's when, what's the other language? That's when Arabic, yeah, Aramaic, because they wanted to change the language of the Hebrews, and then, of course, Greek was the common language at the time. It's all Greek to me because I don't understand it. I'm doing good just to understand English, so.
Matt, since you brought it up, the three persons of the Godhead were there. God manifests himself in certain ways, but he is everywhere.
Right.
All three persons are always everywhere, but he manifests himself in certain places to certain people.
Right, certain places. But this is where the record, okay. Yeah, this is the recording in the Bible, the only recording that we have him manifest all three persons at one time in front of human beings. So, as recorded. So, okay. Correct me if you run across something. Hey, here's another place. Okay, and I think that's the only place that's recorded in the Bible. So, okay, let's move on. Where were we? We finished up 16, 17, and 18. We got 7 minutes. We can do this here. We can wipe them all out here. 7 minutes here. 17, Alan, you got 17, verse 17 there, Revelation 19, 17. 19, yes. 17 and 18. Whoa, we got a lot of birds coming down to eat the flesh of all of these non-believers. And they all took the mark of the beast. That's quite a gruesome picture there, isn't it? Let's move on here. 19 through 21, see if we can... Got a reader here, a fast reader. Oh, John, no. Yes.
The book of Revelation, things have been said about it that are false. And I remember like 30 years ago or something, some prominent person, I don't remember who it was, said that the ravens and the birds of prey were laying double the eggs in Israel.
Look, search the scriptures. Jim, we're not going to finish today, so can I have one more Sunday, next Sunday? We might be able to get to a point here, but we're going to see at the end of the book of Revelation, and also a mention in Deuteronomy, what happens to people that add to the words of this book or detract from the words of this book. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we have the room there. Okay, well, it's over there. Okay, that's a good point. Good comment here, that there is room to put the temple, so we can let that that Dome of the Rock sit there too. Because just to the south of that is the wall, the Wailing Wall, what we call. And yeah, I actually got to put my, what's that called there? Yarmulke on, and I bought a yarmulke while I was over there, so I could blend in with the natives. They knew differently. But I actually was able to go up there and say a prayer. And you have to have your head covered. Some people went up and with their ball cap. That's cheating here, in my opinion. And if you didn't have a cap, they had some disposable yarmulkes that you could take, I guess, so. But yeah, that's a good comment. There's room now. I've also heard one comment saying that it doesn't have, since we are the temple of the Lord, or the temple isn't within us. Oh, how is that stated? I'm misquoting here, I'm sure. That one person said it's not necessary that it actually be built, although I would look for it to be built here. They have everything ready. That's right. They have everything. So it could be a movable tabernacle, like when they were wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah, or until it was built here. So let's pick this one up at 19 next Sunday. I just want to mention that, yeah, because we got some good comments here, that Jesus does destroy his enemies. Oh, no, we're going to pick this up here. Boy, I'd like to read that one here. I'll just read it here. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured. Who's the beast? Who's the beast? Not where's the beef. Who's the beast? We're trying to have a serious conversation here. The beast is captured. Okay. The beast is captured. Where was I? 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. The beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet is who worked the signs in his presence. And I've skipped over a lot of things that they did during the tribulation period, but they did a lot of things that would make a person say, hey, these guys may be for real. And thus the deception sets in. Okay, signs of the presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast. They deceived them. Is there any deception going on today? No, unless you're watching ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, PBS, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Compost. You know, you take care of any of those, you know. Mark, caught that. Okay, the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his enemies. Those two were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. We have two places that people are going to be. We have what the Old Testament called Sheol, and which is the, what's the other name here? It's that place and then the lake of fire, which is the end result. Those, Sheol and Hades, yes. Those two are thrown directly into the lake of fire. Okay. The rest were killed with the swords which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, which is our Lord. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. They were killed. They're not going to the lake of fire right now because we got something else coming for them. Satan is also going to be bound at this point. He's not into the lake of fire yet. But those two, the false prophet and the And the Antichrist is, they will be put into the lake of fire at that time. Because, right, they're alive. Some people think, well, I don't want to go over there. Those people will spend eternity there. Some people don't think that is the case, but that is the fact from what the Bible says. And I'm not one to try to be in the position of calling God a liar. I think that's a dangerous position to be. So, okay, with that, we have completed the book of chapter 19. We have completed our battle of Armageddon. We're going to be getting ready for the 75-day period that's immediately before the 1,000-year reign, and then we have something else coming for all of the non-believers at that time, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday. And with that, I think we will close. I'm going to mention this then too. Don't find yourself in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, when you read 21 through 24, do not find yourself with many of those who will be trying to plead their case in front of Jesus. And he says, "Be gone from me, I never knew you, you who practice iniquity or lawlessness." Don't find yourself there. Study that. Make sure you're not there. Like my friend over here, Straw Man, who's a made-up man. Okay, I don't care about him because he's not real. Okay, but he's there. I can get a new Straw Man. We can't get new people here. So, all right, with that, any questions? Oh, Antichrist. That is the Antichrist. Is that our reference? Good. I had it written down someplace. I have it written down someplace. It's not right up here, but I'm glad. Someone is there to make sure we have all of the references right there. Say that again, Daniel 7, 3. Okay. Jim had that. He brought us through, taught us Daniel, right? You had that foremost on the front of your head?
I forgot.
Okay, I keep that foremost on the back of my head, which I can't see, so... All right. Any other questions or comments? We're 4 minutes past due, so let's close up and with prayer, and then we'll get ready for service. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophecy that you've given us, the true word that you have for us, that we can believe, that we can follow, that we will see you as our Lord, and that we will follow you and give all glory to you. Now that we ask that you bless this service that's coming in front of us, and that you open our minds and our hearts to the word that Pastor Joe will be bringing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.